Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, October 3rd, 2010.
Tonight we come to the conclusion of the Pilgrim Psalms, to the conclusion of the Pilgrim, and I hope that you have seen yourself in some of these Psalms, for we learn in the book of Hebrews that we too, like them, are pilgrims and aliens here on this earth. But we are aliens that are helpful. We're not UFO, but we are aliens on this earth. So turn to the 133rd Psalm. This series comes to a conclusion with two very short psalms, three verses apiece. So let's read them both through successively. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. So this is the conclusion to this 15 Psalm series, and these two concluding Psalms are a fitting ending. The 133rd is a eulogy. The 134 is a benediction. We usually think of a eulogy as being good words said about someone who is deceased. But the dictionary says that the word eulogy, meaning good or fine words, means for any person, place, or event. So this is a good event, come to a good conclusion. We have followed this pilgrim through various vicissitudes of life, and we will go back and review that. I hope I'm not trespassing on your sermon recently, brother, on the 133rd Psalm. But no matter what we say about it, we don't exhaust the Word of God. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord had commanded the blessing forevermore. There are three words that stand out in this psalm. Two of them are expressed in the psalm, and the third is very much implied. How good, how pleasant, how refreshing. This is about the gathering of the tribes together for one of the grand festivals of Israel. And at the conclusion of the festival, the pilgrims are ready to turn and go home. And the psalmist here is reflecting on how good it was for the meeting. Have you ever felt at the end of some of the special meetings we've had here that it has been good to be here? Have you ever felt after a camp meeting or revival how good it is to gather together with the people of God? Have you ever reflected on how good is the Christian fellowship? And how good it is to be with God's people, especially those who faithfully gather together. This is a Psalm of David. He did not originally write it for this pilgrimage, but it was very happily included in this collection of Psalms. How good it is to gather with others of like precious faith, and the fellowship that we enjoy, both the social fellowship and the spiritual fellowship. I'm sure this is how the pilgrims gathering from all the tribes of Israel felt as they gathered together for their special feast, because there is only one solemn feast in the Mosaic economy. That was the Day of Atonement. All of the other gatherings were for joy, for rejoicing, for blessing, for praising God. And how good is the fellowship when we can gather together like that, in unity, in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. And how good is the brotherhood. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. For our Christian fellowship is a fellowship of a brotherhood. Peter tells us to love the brotherhood. If you can't love all your brothers, you don't think, love the brotherhood. If you can't feel comfortable with everyone in church, be thankful for the church. Be thankful for the congregation. I'm sure that there were many differences among the tribes. In fact, we know there are. They are recorded in the Old Testament. There were even feuds among some of the tribes. And there were differences among the tribes that were sometimes very serious. But to gather together in Jerusalem, in a neutral place, and to lay aside those differences, I'm sure, was what we experienced when we gathered together to worship. We know there were differences among the tribes of Israel, especially among the northern tribes against the southern tribes, and it finally resulted in a schism of the nation, which was one of the great impetuses for the decline and the fall of the Jewish monarchy. But how good is it to gather together? If it is good, we will gather together, won't we? If we perceive how good it is. So just reflect on that throughout your lifetime. Just how much does the Christian brotherhood mean to you? And think about each one of the Christians that you know in this assembly or elsewhere. And just stop and think, how much do you really love every one of them? And what do they mean to you? What does their life and their struggles mean to you? For we are of one brotherhood. And the next is, how pleasant it is for when brothers dwell together in unity. Have you been in gatherings where you did not feel unity? Where you perhaps felt disunity? How good, how pleasant it is to enjoy the joy of worshiping together. Like the song we sing, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. You know, that can happen alone when you're alone and worshiping the Lord. But how much more often does it happen when we gather together and we worship together and the presence of the Lord becomes very real, almost palpable? How pleasant it is. And then the third word is how refreshing it is. And the psalmist here uses two very striking figures to describe how precious it is. It's like the finest of olive oil, with which the priest was anointed. It was a special oil with special compounded fragrances that was not permitted for common use. But it was oil or an unguent of some kind always feels good on the skin, doesn't it? But especially such an anointing, which is the typical anointing of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. How refreshing it is when we gather together and the presence of the Spirit is so real and refreshing. How pleasant it is. And the third, how refreshing it is. It is like the dew of Hermon as it falls on the mountains of Zion. And this is especially picturesque, for Mount Hermon is in the Anti-Lebanon Mountains to the north of Israel, and it is the source of Israel's water supply, just as it is the source of the water supply of southern Syria. And as in the winter time, the snow gathers on the mountain there, and like with our mountains, it determines the runoff for the Jordan Valley. But in the summertime, that snow is melted. There may be some left, but for most, usually it is melted. And the rains from the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean have ceased. And from about May through December is the dry season. And in the southern part of Israel, the desert becomes desert, and the pastures become scarce. But in the north, in Galilee, along the mountain ridge of Israel, through Samaria, down to Jerusalem, it's lush and green. And there's a reason for it. It's the dew of the night. For this, you remember the story of Gideon? How he put out a sign for the Lord. He put out a fleece, and he says, if the ground is dry and the fleece is wet. Then he said, if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet. He was speaking of the summer dew, where he could literally wring water out of that fleece from the dew. For that is what keeps Israel lush and green throughout the summer. Mount Hermon is a high mountain. I forget just how high, something like 7,000 or 8,000, maybe 9,000 feet. It's not as high as our mountains, but it rises from a lower plain than our mountains do. and the winds coming in from onshore from the Mediterranean rise over the Lebanese and the anti-Lebanese mountains, and they cause precipitation just like these mountains do here. And the dew coming off, those moist winds coming off the Mediterranean because of the configuration of those mountains cause a lot of moisture for Galilee and Samaria and northern Judea, without which it would be as barren as Transjordan, as barren as the Syrian desert. How refreshing is the dew from those mountains? How refreshing is the unity and the amity of the brotherhood, the joy of gathering together. It is like the precious dew that gives life to Israel, to their crops, and to their countryside. How good and how pleasant. What a blessing that is to that land. What a blessing these times together are to us too. So the pilgrim was commenting here on his experience of gathering together with all the tribes of Israel in Jerusalem for this feast that has now come to an end, and reflecting on what a blessedness that time was, just like we do after some of the special meetings. Then to Psalm 134, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place. Bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." A number of commentators have pointed out that this is a responsive psalm. There are two voices here, and one of the commentators, whose name I've forgotten, but Spurgeon recorded his words, said that here the pilgrims are getting ready to go home, and in that land you journey by night, not by day. But usually, most of their journey was broken up into the earlier part of the evening and the night, and then they would camp for several hours. And then in the early morning, before sunrise, they would strike camp and they would travel again until the heat of the day, when they would stop and they would camp again. And those who could had shelters or tents that they could carry with them. So he said that this psalm is set in the early morning, before the dawn, when the stars are still out and everyone is getting ready to leave. So they go back to the temple and they call out to the priests who were on night duty. And they call out, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord," the priests, "who stand by night in the house of the Lord," because the house of the Lord had to be attended day and night. The lamps had to be kept burning, the incense had to be prepared, and everything had to be kept in order throughout the night. And they called to the priest, "Lift up your hands to the holy place," that is to the inner sanctuary of the temple, "and bless the Lord." And then the third verse is a response of the priests to the people who are preparing for their journey. "May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth, giving them a blessing from the Lord for their journey to going home. But for us who enjoy the reality of which they had a blessed forecast in their own experience, they enjoyed their religion. We have a response in the book of Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit, not the unity of organization, not the unity of the visible church, but the unity of the Spirit, which he made, which he created on the day of Pentecost, endeavoring to keep that unity, not to break the peace of that unity of the Spirit. And this should always be our endeavor every time we gather together for worship. So these two short psalms end this series, but I hope you've been following through this series and you've been able to see your own experience in the light of these ancient ones, because as Paul wrote in the New Testament, that these experiences were given to those people as a pattern for us, that we might learn from them. And going through these 15 Psalms, each one emphasizes some emotion or experience. In the 120th Psalm, the psalmist expresses his distress of living as an alien among those who hated him, which has been the Jews' experience for 2,500 years. In the 121st Psalm, he is given assurance of the Lord's blessing on his pilgrimage. In the 122nd Psalm, he experiences the peace that assurance brings to his heart. In Psalm 123, he realizes the mercy of the Lord on his behalf and on the behalf of his people. In the 124th Psalm, he speaks of the deliverance of the Lord from all their troubles. In the 125th Psalm, he speaks of his security in his knowledge of the Lord. And in the 126th, of hope and joy. In the 127th, of repose in a family blessed by the Lord. In the 128th Psalm, he expresses his contentment with his lot in life. And in the 129th Psalm, he recognizes that God is righteous in all of the vicissitudes of life, whether a blessing or not perceived of having a blessing. God is righteous. And in the 130th Psalm, he expresses what is, I'm sure, an emotion that everyone here has experienced, and that is depression, emotional depression. But he follows in the 131st Psalm with the blessing of a quieted soul, when the Lord has quieted his heart in depression and he feels release. And in 132nd Psalm, it is a prayer. Remember, O Lord, Zion and your people. And then in the two concluding Psalms, the unity and its blessing, and the blessing, the benediction of the Lord. So that's quite a range of emotional experiences. Distress, assurance, peace, mercy, deliverance, security, joy and hope, repose, contentment. The realization that God is righteous even when it doesn't seem to be, when life isn't fair. And depression, a quieted soul, and unity and blessing. So with this, we close out this series. I hope that it has blessed you. It has certainly blessed me more than ever before in reading these Psalms.